and made an acclaimed debut in music by Berg, Bach and Beethoven, the Diabelli variations. And this was the real start of his career in public, which continues to this day. He's mainly confined himself to the great classical pianist composers, Mozart, Beethoven, Schubert and Brahms, with occasional forays into the 20th century, although he's never played the music of Rachmaninoff in public, the pianist who, in fact, he most admires. Throughout his life, his playing life, Kovacevic has suffered badly from nerves, and he talks frankly about this and the way his more recent conducting career has helped him to deal with them. So that's the Lebrecht interview tomorrow evening here on BBC Radio 3 at 9:45. Well, now it's coming up to 1:01. BBC Radio 3, 90 to 93 FM on digital radio and online. This is David Cornick with a summary of the news. The Australian Prime Minister, Julia Gillard, has begun trying to form a coalition government after an inconclusive result in the country's general election yesterday. She acknowledged that neither her Labour Party nor the opposition Conservative coalition was likely to win the 76 seats needed for an outright majority. But the opposition leader, Tony Abbott, said it was clear that Labour had lost its legitimacy to govern. One of the legal experts who's called for a full inquest into the death of the weapons inspector David Kelly says detailed evidence from the post-mortem examination disclosed in a newspaper interview should be tested. In the Sunday Times, the pathologist Dr. Nicholas Hunt said the injuries were entirely consistent with self-harm. But Dr. Michael Powers, who earlier this month argued that the wounds to Dr. Kelly's wrists were unlikely to have been fatal, said the quality of the evidence hadn't been assessed. Tens of thousands of people are fleeing from fresh flooding in southern Pakistan. Rising water is threatening the flood defences in the city of Shahdadkot, where the army and local volunteers have raced to build a mud embankment. 200,000 people have been forced to leave their homes in the area in the past 24 hours. The government in Iraq has confirmed that a man who was convicted in connection with the kidnap and murder of a British aid worker has escaped from prison. Ali Lutfi Jasser al-Rawi was jailed for life last year for his part in the killing of Margaret Hassan in 2004. He'd been due to face a retrial. Police in Egypt have resumed their search for a painting by the Dutch master Van Gogh, which was stolen from a museum in Cairo. Earlier reports said the picture, which is valued at £30 million, had been found and the alleged thieves arrested at the city's airport. And the weather, there'll be occasional light rain in the far south and southeast of England throughout the day. Rain will become heavy and persistent in southwest England by the evening. Northern Ireland and Scotland will see sunshine and showers. Elsewhere, if there is anywhere else, it'll be dry with sunny periods. That's the BBC News and Weather at 1:03, and it's time now for the early music show. And today, Catherine Bott pays tribute to one of the most celebrated musicians of the 15th century, Johannes Ockeghem. The programme begins with a reading of part of a lament on the composer's death, written by one of his contemporaries.
For Ockeghem we weep and lament, he who was skilled in the knowledge and practice of all the subtle secrets of the new art of song. Musicians must be restrained today, bathing their hearts with tears at seeing him dead on his couch, and say that his name shall always remain on our lips eternity to gain. For Ockeghem.
part of Guillaume Crétin's lament on the death of the late Ockeghem, treasurer of St. Martin of Tours, read in Virginia Rounding's translation by Bob Peck. And then, music by the late Ockeghem, the credo from his Missa de Plus en Plus, sung by the Hilliard Ensemble. It comes from a Radio 3 recording of a concert from 1997, first broadcast on the eve of the 500th anniversary of Ockeghem's death. If you work backwards from that anniversary, while simultaneously fast-forwarding to the year 2010, you may run out of fingers to count on, but it's a neat trick if you can do it, you can see that Ockeghem lived to a ripe old age, and this year sees the probable 600th anniversary of his birth. One of the most influential composers of his time, or any other time for that matter, Johannes Ockeghem has been called the most original musical mind of the 15th century. And certainly his contemporaries must have regarded him highly, as so many of them seem to have written poems and music in his honour during his lifetime, and especially when he died. In today's Early Music Show, we'll hear some of the musical tributes and homages to the musician who was called Maître et Bon Père, Master and Good Father. Ockeghem himself was skilled at tributes and elegies. Paying one's respects in music to colleagues and teachers was something all musicians of his day were poised to do. The title of the Mass we just heard from, for example, is in honour of a famous song by Gilles de Binchois. Here's the original, De plus en plus se renouvelle.
Voilà.
More and more, my sweet lady, my desire to see you is rekindled. The Clerks, directed by Edward Wickham, with Courtly Love in Song by Gilles de Benchois, probably 10 years older than Ockeghem. A song whose renown was increased by Ockeghem's using the tune in his mass setting of the same name, marking the older man's death in 1460. Ockeghem may have ended his career in France, but he's firmly Franco-Flemish by birth. Well, upbringing. Needless to say, at an interval of 600-odd years, his birthplace isn't known. The name Ockeghem is the same as the name of a village in East Flanders, and in the nearby town of Termonde, there's a Johannes van Ockeghem mentioned in documents of 1395, but that's the nearest we can get. He was definitely a vicaire chanteur at Notre Dame in Antwerp for a year in the early 1440s. But what's more interesting is that he was obviously well connected in the musical world. He wrote a deploration as well as that mass when Benchois died, indicating that Benchois had been his mentor, and he was in turn honoured with a motet by Antoine Bunois in the 1460s. And writers of the period linked him with Dufay as well. Dufay, Benchois and Bunois, three of the greatest names in 15th century music. All of them were connected with the Ducal Chapel of Burgundy, and it was perhaps with the help of the first two that Ockeghem entered the service of Charles I, Duke of Bourbon, in the mid-1440s. That appointment led in turn to another Charles, King Charles VII of France. By 1453, Ockeghem was firmly established at the French court, where he spent most of the rest of his life. What was his job description there? He wasn't ordained into the priesthood, but he was described as premier chapelain of the King's Chapel in 1454, which meant that he was singing for services there. Court records are very useful here, because they document the rise and rise of Ockeghem's fortunes. When he gave the king a book of music for New Year 1454, he received in return 4 ells of scarlet cloth. In November 1459, the king appointed him treasurer of the Church of St. Martin of Tours. Ockeghem gave him a chanson as a New Year's gift 2 months later and was rewarded this time with a handsome present of money. Sadly, 18 months after that, the royal household was being issued with black robes and hoods for the king's funeral. Which leads me neatly back to that lament on Ockeghem's death written by his colleague Crétin, which we heard a section from at the top of today's programme. Crétin wrote it in French, and it inspired Jean Molinet to write similar poems in Latin and French. His lament, Nymphe des Bois, was later given a poignant musical setting by Josquin, who may have added a descriptive verse of his own. In the midst of life, everyone was in death, and when it came, musicians knew how to mark the occasion.
Thank you.
Wood nymphs, goddesses, skilled singers of all nations, change your clear and lofty voices into sharp cries and lamentations. Your Ochachem, music's very treasure and master, no longer escapes death. Josquin's Lament for Ochachem, Nymphes des Bois, performed by Chant 1450. Another line from that piece. Dress yourselves in clothes of mourning, Josquin, Pierchon, Brumel, Compère. The man hymned by his peers in these various works must have been an ideal friend and colleague. He's praised for his honesty, virtue, piety, generosity, and kindness. Francesco Florio, writing in Tours in the 1470s, long before Ockeghem's death, declared, "I am sure you could not dislike this man. So pleasing is the beauty of his person, so noteworthy the sobriety of his speech and of his morals, and his grace. He alone, of all singers, is free from vice and abounding in all virtues." Leaving aside the fact that one instantly longs to know about all those other naughtier singers, that's quite a tribute. So we can infer a lot about Ockeghem the man, but what about Ockeghem the composer? The number of works attributed to him is surprisingly small, given his longevity and the respect he commanded among his contemporaries. His mass settings are the biggest part of his output, but there are also a handful of motets and a score of chansons listed in Grove's dictionary, before the entry moves into the sad realm of lost and doubtful works. If he were living nowadays, you'd have to conclude that he had a great publicist. His fame spread far and wide. To Naples, for example, where in the 1470s Johannes Tinctoris not only dedicated his Liber de Natura et Proprietate Tonorum to Ockeghem and Bunuel, he also named Ockeghem as the most famous musician of his time in the prologue to his Liber de Arte Contrapuncti. I've already mentioned Dufay and Banchois. Even the humanist theologian Erasmus of Rotterdam wrote a lament on Ockeghem's death, Ergone Conticuit, which was later given a musical setting by Johannes Lupi.
Oh.
Capella Nova, directed by Richard Taruskin, with Lupi's setting of words by Erasmus, Ergone Conticuit. Ultimately, the most significant way in which Ockeghem was commemorated for years after his death was through the musical works which were based directly on his own compositions, or which quoted extensively from his music. With the cross-fertilisation of sacred and secular that prevailed in the 15th and early 16th centuries, there's many a mass built on a tenor cantus firmus line that's the melody of someone else's chanson. Think of that popular tune L'Homme Armé, for example. And borrowings from Ockeghem's chanson were frequent, particularly in masses by Obrecht and Larue. The pieces honouring Ockeghem often derive from one of his chansons. Let's hear how it works with a tune that travelled widely thanks to the composers who came after Ockeghem. His chanson, Fort Seulement, followed by a setting of it by Obrecht.
Thank you. Thank you.
Concentus Musicus with Force Solomon by Obrecht, and before that we heard the Medieval Ensemble of London under Peter and Timothy Davis with Ockeghem's original chanson of the same name. There's not enough time in one edition of the Early Music Show to play all the works which praise Johannes Ockeghem. If you don't know the music of the man himself, it's widely available on various recordings, but maybe one of the most interesting things about him is how much he inspired other musicians. So I'm going to end by returning to the Hilliard Ensemble and that concert from 1997, as they sing the motet In Hydraulis by Antoine Bunoir, who may have studied with Ockeghem. He certainly admired him. In this motet, ostensibly proclaiming the musical and scientific work of Pythagoras, Bunoir celebrates, Ockeghem, you who outsing everyone in the wide kingdom of the French, hail, true image of Orpheus. And before we hear that, Bob Peck reads more sad lines from Crétin's Lament on the death of the late Ockeghem.
When his song was ended, the instrument ceased, and next the choristers mourned the deceased. The good Dufailly arrived with Bunoir and more than 20 others, Banchois, Fed, Barbingon, and Dunstable, Pascal, Lanois, the famous Baziron, Copin, Régis, Constance, and Gilles-Joie. And many men stood near them listening, for it was good to hear such harmony of sound. The group was furnished well all round.
Ah!
in Niederorlis by Antoine Bunois, and it was performed in that recording by the Hilliard Ensemble, ending today's early music show, which was presented by Catherine Bott.
Radio 3's lunchtime concert live at the Edinburgh International Festival. Every summer, Scotland's capital is host to 3 weeks of the very best in international music, drama and dance. This year, performers from the Americas and the Pacific will be rubbing shoulders with artists from Europe and the UK, including Magdalena Kozina, Melvin Tan and Trio Zimmermann. Our Tuesday concert showcases the talent of pianist Jonathan Biss, who will be playing music by Schumann and Mozart and ending with Beethoven's tempestuous Appassionata Sonata. The lunchtime concert at the Edinburgh International Festival, starting on Tuesday at 1 o'clock here on BBC Radio 3.
Well, Sunday afternoon, 2 o'clock, and here's Chichi Nwanaku with more of your Radio 3 requests.
Thank you. August is now the most popular month of the year for a wedding, so let's begin with Keith Herndon's request for an aria from A Bride-to-Be.
Thank you.
son virgin vetsosa in vesti disposa. I am a blithesome maiden. It was performed by Montserrat Caballé as Elvira from Act One of Bellini's I Puritani. She was joined by Giulia Hamari, Alfredo Kraus, Agostino Ferrin and the Ambrosian Opera Chorus. The Philharmonia Orchestra was conducted by Riccardo Muti. I played it for Keith Herndon, who loves the sense of unequalled youthful joy and excitement Caballé brings to the role. Welcome to Radio 3 Requests. I'm Chichi Nwanoku, and for the next hour, I'm going to be playing some of your favourite music, including music from Bach, a guitar quartet by the author Anthony Burgess, and Prokofiev's First Piano Concerto. Some rare Sibelius next, though, for John J. Davis from Newton Abbot. A self-confessed arch-Sibelian, he's asked for the third movement of the Korpo Piano Trio. The name, he tells me, comes from the Finnish island where it was composed and first played by a trio from the Sibelius family, and indeed, John tells me, he was lucky enough to hear the second performance of it in 2006 in that very room in the Korpo Manor House. So, here is the third movement of the Korpo Piano Trio by Sibelius.